Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Pocket collapsing, steps up in the pocket and throws. It's intercepted by Taylor Rapp right at midfield.
It's Mike Shope.
Allen has to throw it wide open. It's Samuel scampering to the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown.
And the Bulldog.
Allen going to step up in the pocket. Now he's going to take it and run, and he's got the first down and more. 10, 5, and muscles his way into the end zone for an unbelievable 26-yard touchdown run. Are you kidding me?
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Hey, that's us. How do you like that?
Oh, I like it just fine.
Football Monday brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Sean McDermott today.
Hey now.
They're like, it's the bye week. Are you free?
Are we free?
I said we were. I said we were. I said yes.
You didn't check with me?
No, I didn't. I was about to undertake a different professional obligation, and I went ahead and just said yes on our behalf.
That's fine. I would have done the same thing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's rude. That's very rude of you. But that'll be somewhere around 4:45, 5 o'clock, 6, somewhere in that sort of, 4:56, somewhere in that range, but
all right, good.
That'll be cool. Let's just talk this out. That's kind of what we do every day. How does today sort of rate as maybe the high point of the last 5 years? Can it be that if it's still November and it's 55 degrees or warmer?
I mean, the day does have something to do with it. You're opening up the show here. I'm just looking out the window thinking, man, it's just beautiful.
What's the problem? Why did you move to North Carolina? Yeah, I didn't.
Who's got it better than us? I mean, really, this is gorgeous. No, I don't think it can. No. I don't think it can rate as the high point of 5 years.
So what is?
The morning after the Patriots game in the playoffs.
Week before 13 seconds?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Because they looked like, I mean, just a five-alarm fire on offense. Obviously, perfect game. And that followed through eventually. I mean, they didn't start off that game necessarily super hot, but they sure finished it super hot. I think that morning was as good as I have felt about them probably ever. I shouldn't say ever. I probably felt that good after they beat the Raiders 51-3 in the AFC Championship game, you know, to go to the Super Bowl, whereas this was just a wild card win over the Patriots with Mac Jones. So it's not like the mountain was that high.
Still, though, keep it to the Allen years, you know.
Right, exactly. So for me, that would be the high water mark. But today feels really good. It really does. I said yesterday on postgame, for all the conversation we had during the week about, you know, feelings, my feelings, and not having, you know, the threat of the floor falling out from under me, sort of I'm missing a piece that I need here. I don't have a lot of anxiety about the result of this game because I feel like the downside is not really all that slippery, all that steep. You know, 8-3, still a big lead in the division. I'm kind of on cruise control here. Probably see this team again in January, whatever. A lot of rationalizing. I underestimated how good it would feel to watch them beat the Chiefs just on its own. It could have been the first game of the year. And
it felt pretty good to watch anybody beat the Chiefs.
Yes, yes. that's very true. But to have it come down the way it came down, 4th and 2 at the 26-yard line, I was just reminded via social media, I've not checked the box score, that the divisional round loss, that drive stalled at the Chiefs' 26-yard line when Bass missed that field goal last January. I wasn't thinking about that last night while we were watching, but to have the coach choose to go for it, have the play unfold the way the play unfolded, it's one of those deals where you're just hoping they get the first down, and then it just multiplied exponentially, extremely quickly. Like, suddenly it's like, oh, he's got the first down. Oh, there's open field. Oh, he's just going to run these people over now. Okay. And that coming on 4th and 2 against that opponent, to put them up by, well, they needed the kick to get up by 9 to be, you know, completely safe.
Oh, easy game.
It felt really, really good. So today does feel really good.
Who misses an extra point?
Right.
Come on. It does. I think this year has kind of all been marked by this, where there's a little bit of a back and forth between, all right, well, what are the Bills' obstacles this year? Well, they've lost these good players. The division is better. This is like the offseason, but there's the schedule. There were certain things going into this season that made it, I think, less popular to be super optimistic, plus the last few years. So there was that. But then you also have, like, what's happening here is just like the division is bad. They're rolling. They're beating Kansas City. They've scored 30 points or more 5 weeks in a row. Here's the point. Trying to make this bigger point about it. Like, there being a little bit of a contradiction. They've scored 30 points in each of their last 5 games. Tell me what they're good at offensively, other than having Josh Allen on the team.
Right.
Like, the line is good. Cook is good. Shakir is good.
Yeah. Nobody's great except Allen.
What's great?
Maybe the line cumulatively is great.
So this is really, I mean, for me, what's a high point? The high point is when it's interesting. And, you know, when they're good and it's interesting. And luckily they didn't lose yesterday, because I don't know what would have been interesting about the next month had they lost that game. Kansas City's done 10-0. Bills are 8-3. Dolphins are 4-something. Like, I don't know. Like, what are we doing for the next month? So I like that they won for that too. Like, this is interesting. Right. Now the one is live.
Yes. Right.
There's no debate, even there's no discussion to be had anymore about what's at stake for the two teams. A lot. The Chiefs don't have undefeated anymore, but they're going to want the one. And they're still favored to get it. But I've got a Bills team here that, you know, defensively is always good to great, which is its own story and probably even a better story than what the offense is. This is also an example of this. At the same time, the offense is like, okay, it's working. I'm in third and long on every drive. I make it. I get there, I win, 31, you know, whatever. Smoke a cigar. These are good times.
Yeah.
But they're not, like, sort of obvious or perfect on offense. They'll get Coleman, if that matters. They'll get Kincaid. I don't even know if I need these guys, like, at this point. I think Kincaid makes it more complicated. You know, they're just trying to figure out a way to get him in, and then just missing throws. I kind of like it when it's a little simpler. And they took down a good defense yesterday. Without those guys. Scored their 31 and are just sort of high-stepping to the playoffs here. Long way to go. So this year has been different. Like, last year was really stressful. They were 6-6. The year before was Hamlin. Like, they were looking good, but then Hamlin happened, and it was very different after that. They lose. The year before that is your New England game, 13 seconds. Like, that's a catastrophe. The year before that is COVID, and they were, like, just – that was probably their best team.
And we were – I would say for me at that time, looking back at it now, years later, just sort of really happy to be here. You know,
like, it was new, right?
Like, yeah, like, oh, they're good. They're a contender. Like, you know, that season started. I wasn't thinking about the Super Bowl, really. I was just thinking about Allen taking another step, them becoming, you know, building toward being a team. And then suddenly it was just like, it was time. Like, we're here. Okay. That they've maintained that level. You know, of course, there have been peaks and valleys. You know, last year around this time, they were, you know, maybe a week or so later, you know, they were 500. In that 21 season, they were 500 after an overtime loss in Tampa, if I remember correctly. So they've had their struggles in some of these seasons, but they've always come out of it. And, you know, to be 9-2 now for the first time since 1992, I did not see this season in the window back in the summer. I mean, I still had you know, relatively high expectations. I thought they would win the division, but I wasn't thinking about the one seed. It was more like, okay, let's see what you can build during the year as, you know, new guys get acclimated, and maybe I'll be a different team by January than I am in September and October. Well, you know, they dipped a little in October, a little late September, two losses in a row there. But, they're having the best season they've had yet at this point with all that change. And they are going to get guys back. I sort of scoffed when you said, I'm not even sure they need those guys. Like, I'll take all the talent I can get. And, you know, so I know you didn't really mean like you don't want them back or anything.
Really?
I think Coleman was showing real signs of promise, and I'll be excited to get him back, especially. You know, Kincaid is more of a harder case to crack, I think, because of Knox and because of formationally what they seem to want to do when he's available, which is use two tight ends instead of just him. And, you know, that does kind of maybe gum things up. They had a very good day yesterday working out of three receivers. For all my talk about this six offensive lineman thing, Alec Anderson played like 8% of the snaps, barely just slightly more than half the amount they've averaged on the year, 15%. So they did not feel like that was, you know, they did hit a couple plays out of it. They hit Knox early out of that, you know, down the left sideline. But it wasn't something that they went to. They used three wides without Coleman there. So, you know, maybe Coleman gets back and they, you know, realize they want to do more of that. I'm here for that. So I love the fact that they are, you know, we expect them to get people back now. I mean, it does not guarantee them health from here to the wire. There's still a lot of football left. And so there's a lot of time for anything to happen to anyone there. But, you know, it feels to me sitting here today like, in a couple of weeks, they could have Milano back and Dwayne Carter back. I mean, you know, different degrees of importance there. Milano's an all-pro. Dwayne Carter's like a role player. But still, to get guys back now, I think could be a real, real boost. And to have the record they have. It's not like we're going to be sitting here going, like, oh, man, you know, they're 6-5, but we're going to get guys back, so stretch run. No, I mean, they're 9-2, and they're getting reinforcements. It was really a nice boost, I think.
Well, I think we'll be probably talking every day about how to manage that. Like the one seed has a lot of value. Kansas City has Carolina and Vegas next. Pretty good chance they're 11-1. You have the Niners and the Rams. It's a bye week first. So it'll be, I mean, the Bills and Chiefs have mostly been around each other in the standings, but there really hasn't been a sprint. And this could be that sprint where Buffalo is one back, but wins on ties. Like, so they're essentially tied all the way to the end. Here's one. Do you have a computer over there?
I do.
Do you have the Chiefs schedule?
I can get to it relatively quickly.
Let me know if you would take for Kansas City 14-3. Which is basically, that means the Bills lose one more game and they get it. If Kansas City goes 14-3 and like Pittsburgh doesn't, that could still happen and they play.
Sure, right.
But look, just forget about that for now.
Okay. Just focus on the Chiefs. Would I take two more losses from them? Carolina, Vegas, you already mentioned. Then it's the Chargers.
At home.
Right. Then it's at Cleveland. Houston at home, and then road games in Pittsburgh and Denver to finish it out.
That's not, like, I think that's that I would.
That's not as cake. Carolina and Vegas sound like cake. Cleveland should be cake. Although, you know.
Is Houston winning at Arrowhead Stadium?
Probably not, but that's still, you know, at least a credible playoff type team. But I've thought since the summer that they were not on the tier with the Bills and the Chiefs and the Ravens, and I think the season is bearing that out. So, you know, that would be I would expect the Chiefs to be favored by 5 or something in that game if it were today.
At home against Houston?
Yeah.
This week?
Yeah.
I like that. 4.5, 5. I like that.
But, sure, I think none of those games is I mean, obviously, KC's, they're 9-1. They look great. Two losses there, I would take it. I would. I think it's a big lift for the Bills, I think, to only lose one game here to the wire. But I think asking for more than three or more than two losses out of the Chiefs with right. that schedule, I think that'd be tough.
That's
right. You know, I've said many times, like, let's just get here. They could lose to anybody the way they've been playing this year. And I still think that's true. Because they're not really capable offensively of just running away from people.
Well, that's the thing about yesterday that to me was like completely predictable. Like they're capable of losing to anybody. The Bills aren't just anybody, but they did. You know, that was they're playing the same game. And here in this game, they're down two in the fourth quarter, late in the fourth quarter. These other games, they've been up one or up six or whatever it is. And they found ways to win, but I just don't believe in that stuff. I think even if you're a two-time defending Super Bowl champion, that catches up with you. Funny for the Chiefs that this ends up not being a one-score game, right? Because they've had all these one-score games in a row that they've won, and this doesn't count. Because, like, too bad they couldn't get a field goal off at the end or something to make it a one-score game. Yeah, I think the betting markets reflect this. I think how we were talking and the people we were talking to last week reflect this, that three losses for the Chiefs is probably the best the Bills can hope for. So if that happens, then the Bills can afford one more loss. Two, and they're playing in the first week. Like that's
right.
That's what your Denver field goal block meant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Look at the standings and flip that game.
That's why it hurts so much to have that go down.
Because now you could afford a loss here,
right,
and still be up. And now you don't have that luxury. So glad they got it, needed it for this whole, you know, endeavor.
Yep.
And you know, you and I, or I, at least I do, I admit, I just get caught up in the standings. I'm all about the standings. I'm all about the playoffs and like what's going to happen, who are the matchups. Even last night, watching Cincinnati lose, I was thinking, like, I don't want to play them. Right? Please lose. I don't want to play them.
Probably not going to have to worry about it.
Might get Richardson.
They just can't.
But you won't get Burrow.
They just cannot get it.
You still could.
Did you stay with that all the way to the end last
Absolutely.
Night? Didn't it seem like nobody wanted to win?
I just didn't want it to end.
I just felt like nobody wants to win, and then suddenly J.K. Dobbins is in the end zone. Okay.
I saw other people tweet this, too. So I don't know what this was. If it was that game or if it was our working late, like a late game, it's like I have had there was not even a game in Munich or anything in the morning, but I got home from post game. I'm sitting there on the couch watching this game, loving it. Cincinnati, I play fantasy football. You do not want.
Oh, you play fantasy football?
I do. You do not want. The Bengals, that fourth down touchdown pass to Chase.
Right.
If they don't make that, I'm going to bed. Like, the game is over. 24-7.
Mm-hmm.
So they do, and they get the ball back, and the Higgins touchdown, that was also on
that
fourth down.
That was a fourth
happens.
Down, too, right, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is great. I looked at the clock, it was like 9:15. No, but it was like maybe 10:30. It was the third quarter. That game seemed like it should have been about to end.
Yeah.
And it was 5 minutes left in the third quarter. And that is like the best feeling. Oh, I've got another hour of this. This is the best. Please get to overtime. Just make it last. You know, other things in life are like that. But Cincy Chargers, we can enjoy the next few weeks here of pondering all that. Baltimore. How do you like that idea? 2-7.
Not very much at
Baltimore.
All right now.
Maybe.
I'm going to tell you. Not,
maybe.
That's
football
just not a draw I'd want. It's cool when you see, you know, it's easy to be torn about it, right? I watched that. I did not bother with Red Zone yesterday. I just watched that. Like, those are two teams I think we're probably going to be talking about. And so I'll just do this. Even though, you know, just a bunch of field goals. And so it's you know, Baltimore looks vulnerable. We know about their defense being susceptible, but Pittsburgh couldn't really seem to do much to exploit it. But they got their field goals and they won the game. It's fun to watch a team that you think is going to be in your hair and a problem for you struggle. Like, oh, maybe we can get them. But at the same time, I wanted them to win the game. I want them to pass Pittsburgh, but it's getting harder and harder to sell that as realistic at this point. They've lost the first head-to-head now. They're, what, two back of the Steelers?
1.5
1.5 Oh, they I bet it. Yeah.
I was on, I'm hosting a show called ADP Chasing now, and please don't ask me to define what that means, but I was on this morning, and Davis Maddox said, come on, ask yourself a question. Wouldn't you be shocked if one of the Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens didn't make the Super Bowl? And I said, yes. I'd be shocked if one of the Chiefs, Bills, or Ravens didn't make the Super Bowl, because then who is it? L.A.? I mean, then who is it?
Yep.
Houston?
Well, they don't have to track down Pittsburgh to do that, though. That, and that's the point. Like, I want them. I don't want the 2-7 is like, that, that shakes me.
No, but they'll play them again.
Yeah.
And they're so much better than Pittsburgh, aren't they? I didn't watch yesterday's game. They lost by the, of course, score of team to team.
Right.
Because every Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, come on, why didn't I copyright this 5 years ago?
Right.
John is on WGR. Hello, John.
Hey guys, how are you doing? Glad to hear you guys in good spirits after an incredible win last night. You guys started off the show, Mike, you kind of had us ask ourselves, you know, who's great in this offense, putting up all this, all these points every single week, and is there anyone, you know, other than Josh, great? And you mentioned a few players. You mentioned Shakir. You said, yeah, he's good. Well, I mean, I'm going to maybe agree with you, but I might put Shakir great category. I mean, when you really look at this player and what he's doing for our offense, like last year we had, a couple years ago, we had a lot of issues moving the football. We didn't just have that player that was getting us to those second ones, you know, where our offense a couple years ago was just chugging like a machine. And, you know, Beasley was a big, big part in that. And then we lost him, and we tried to get that magic back with him a couple years ago, and it just didn't seem to be hitting on the same cylinders that it was before. And Shakir has just come out of nowhere. I mean, this guy is obviously a testament to, you know, our scouts and our general manager. I mean, he has just to this football team and created a spark on offense that cannot be denied. I mean, I'm just waiting for him to start catching the ball at the line of scrimmage and just get tackled by the 275-pound behemoths that are trying to get this guy on the ground and just can't seem to do it. He's incredibly skilled with his movements. There's just does not seem to be any wasted movement with this guy. He is just incredibly shifty.
All right, so strong. John, you've been heard. Top what receiver in the NFL?
Gosh, top receiver.
Top 20?
I'm going to put him right now in the top.
Don't. Careful.
I'm going to put him in the top 10.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he is a top 10 receiver.
He is not.
I love Shakir. I don't think that's realistic at all. But I think he's excellent. I think his value has been apparent. He's added a wrinkle. Like this throwing the ball at the line of scrimmage stuff is relatively new this year, and he is the focus of that. They do a little bit of it with Kincaid, but like that's his thing. And you know, that did get, I think that got botched a couple times. One with maybe a throw that got batted down, another time they bottled it up, but it's been a very effective play for them. But yeah, I mean, there's, I don't know, 20 guys, I mean, further, but he's been excellent.
20 is generous. It's not a criticism. Most of what the caller is saying is correct. Like, he matters. He's important. He's reliable. He's good. Let's leave it there. That's fine, right? That's good. That should be good enough.
He's good enough.
He's not Garrett Wilson, right? He doesn't have to be Garrett Wilson. We don't need him to be Garrett Wilson, but like, really, he's not in the top 10 in the league. Catch, score a touchdown. That'd be cool. Like, break one. That'd be cool. That would help your case. Not a criticism, right? Do I have to say it again? I shouldn't. Shouldn't have to say it once.
Why do you hate the Bills?
I do. I haven't been able to decide why yet or how. Or I haven't been able to figure it out. 803-0550. Football Monday. Eric Wood today. Sean McDermott today. 803-0550. Again, the number if you didn't hear me 5 seconds ago. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Okay, caller 5 right now at 716-221-4WGR. That's 4947. Wins a pair of tickets to see comedian Tammy Pescatelli November 30th, 2024 at Rob's Playhouse Theater. Tickets are on sale at playhousetix.com. It's T-I-X. ticks.
Thank you for the distinction.
I mean, otherwise there's ticks like,
mm-hmm.
you know, your dog gets sometimes.
Right.
Very unfortunate.
Yep.
You don't want that.
No, nobody wants that.
Nobody wants that. Well, that's settled. Let's go to Ed on WGR. Hello, Ed.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Great, Ed. Thanks for calling us.
Yeah, you asked about, why does this offense score 30 points? Who's the great guy? Who's making this happen? I don't think it's a guy. I think it goes from tackle to tackle, and the way they bring in the tight ends. If you don't start with a good offensive line, you don't have running backs getting over 4.5 yards per carry. You don't have quarterbacks throwing 300, or at least close to it, per game. You don't have what Josh Allen does. So I think from tackle to tackle, that's why you're scoring 30 points a game.
I think the line is good. How good is the running game again?
Well, we have a couple of running backs that are like 4.5, aren't they?
Cook is 4.3.
Nobody else matters.
Davis is 4. Johnson's higher than that, but Cook is the guy, and he's 4.3 this year. They did not have a great day running it yesterday. What they did effectively was score with it, though. Like that was, you know, they got Cook got 2 rushing touchdowns. Allen is, you know, that's a whole different thing. So I like that they were able to punch it in there, but they had a tough time running the ball, and I think maybe they expected that coming in. That's why I thought they'd load up and go with a little more big stuff with a 6th lineman on the field, but they did not do that, and it, you know, obviously worked out.
Right, that was a big talking point last week, how the Chiefs, like no running back has gotten to even 60 yards against the Chiefs in a game this year. The only player that has is Jackson, who went for 112 or something. So what are you going to do there? And the Bills didn't need to do more than they did. Allen was at 55. Cook was 9 for 20. But like you said it, they scored on those plays. So that's what matters.
Yep. I think the line is excellent. I think the tackles are excellent. You know, Torrance is getting a lot of love for the play. Really, Vandermark, too. The 26-yard run on 4th and 2. Vandermark lets Carl Aftis just go just up and around, like, past. He just sort of, like, guides him past everything. Smart.
Torrance, smart by Carl Aftis.
What's that?
Smart by Carl Aftis, too. I wouldn't want any part of this quarterback. Get out of there.
Jones, Torrance does a great job, and he pushes Jones exactly where, like, I'm seeing, like, he manhandled him. I don't know about that. Jones comes off the ball and decides to, like, go inside toward the center. And Torrance just goes with him and just sort of pushes him out of the play. That play probably is a completely different animal if Jones has some rush lane discipline there. Because, I mean, we talked a lot. People had one guy call the postgame show last night asking about the Bills looking at times like they weren't attacking Mahomes with their defensive line. They were more, you know, guarded. And I thought, well, that might be they're trying to just be where, you know, keep him inside there. And, you know, it's not as much of a incentive to get there as it is to make sure he doesn't escape and do something. Jones paved the way for Allen to do that. I'd love to know, like, how, you know, what tripped the wire for Allen, but the gaping hole there that Jones created by moving to his right, Allen's left, just gave Allen everything he needed there. So, I mean, Torrance did a good job. It's not a criticism of Torrance, just Jones, I think. If I'm doing this show in Kansas City today and I'm looking at a pivotal play in the game, I'm saying, like, that dude, like, didn't do his team any favors by taking the route he took. He left Allen all that green and he took it.
Well, this is a little bit of a cop out maybe, but that's not what you're paying him for, right? And there's also, what do you think the Chiefs flight home was like? Do you think it was just silent misery, self-introspection? You know, that's redundant, but was it like that? Or like, okay,
yeah,
this is over. We don't have to care about undefeated. We didn't really care about that anyway. We're just trying to get there again. And you don't play to you don't want to lose, but I think there might have been some relief on the Kansas City side. And I think there was relief on the Bills side. This game is over. You're still in the running. You beat them. They've lost these critical games to the Chiefs. That has to, obviously, how do you feel as a fan? Like, that feels super good. And so that was the right outcome for you, too. Everybody wins yesterday, I think. The Chiefs don't have a better chance of the one seed, far from it. But they're still a little bit the favorite to get it. And they don't have to care about things that really are not what they're here for. So, I mean, I don't say that to say that the Chiefs will just breeze to 15, 16 wins. Because they haven't been that good.
No, they haven't breezed really at all this year.
Last year, this year, they are. How many games has Kansas City won in the last 2 years? Listen to this. Don't quote me. But how many games have they won in the last 2 years that were like easy? Not many. A couple. Last year, they lost six times. And this year, they're blocking field goals and getting away with these close games to the point where people have been, even us, asking themselves if it's like, have they broken the formula? Have they broken the game? Like, they know how to win the close. No, they don't. They're good. They should win more than their share. But nobody breaks that game. Nobody knows how to do that. So it's a matter of time before they lose. And good thing that they lost here. Now maybe they'll lose to the Raiders again on Black Friday or something. That happened last year. They lost on Christmas at home to the Raiders.
Right.
They couldn't get a first down in like an hour of real time in that game. You never know.
Right.
That's why this was so big.
Yeah.
You never, an injury, an upset, things are going to happen. You have to just keep going, you know, your best until it really doesn't matter if you get to that point.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that was always there in the window for the Bills. So you could line up the schedules and pick out games that you think could be, you know, your team could be vulnerable in. And the Bills' schedule, I think, looks tougher than what the Chiefs have. But the point that you need to remember is that the Bills have mostly murdered bad teams. And the Chiefs, doesn't really matter who they're playing. It's gonna be a tight game. And if that's the case, one mistake, one big play, one anything, one ref call, one anything can trip you up. So, you know, sure, they should annihilate the Carolina Panthers and the Raiders the next 2 weeks. But I don't know, what are the spreads in those games? And, you know, recognizing that you can win without covering, but like the spreads will be a reflection of what kind of year they've had so far, despite being 9-1.
You want to guess this week, Carolina?
The game is
at Carolina.
At Carolina,
a notoriously hostile environment.
Right, probably so tough. I'm going to guess they're favored by 7.5.
11.
Wow. Okay.
Despite Jonathan Brooks making
it. I wasn't going to be able to go very high there after all that preamble.
I know.
Up to that.
I know.
I was not going to be able to go to double
digits.
What's
11? Like 85% to win? What is that? Yeah. Not so one-sided. No NFL game is.
Right.
Look at Jacksonville-Detroit. Everybody thought that game would be a blowout. Paul is next. Hello, Paul.
Hello, gentlemen. I know it looks like a crazy, but the Dolphins 4-6 haven't got much of a schedule left, and they could run the table. A couple of tough games against the Packers and the Texans, but if they get in, I think they're dangerous. And another note, Pittsburgh's only played one game against that division, so that whole picture could change. Thank you.
Well, that could be good or bad for Pittsburgh. I mean, they played Baltimore. That's got to be their toughest division opponent, and they have five more, you're right. They're at Cleveland Thursday night, the Steelers. And as we've been saying, we love the standings. I obsess about them. We've been saying for weeks the Steelers are an interestingly pivotal team in the whole calculus. Like what they play the Chiefs, too, on Christmas Day, Ross Tucker. So Pittsburgh could get, if they beat the Browns twice and the Bengals twice, maybe the Bengals are ready to throw it in.
Yep.
Then that's 12 or 13 wins, and that's the division title. And the two or the three, it could be the Steelers that we end up talking about a lot in the postseason, and I would be fine with that. Bring it on. Let's go.
Yeah.
If one of your playoff games can be against Pittsburgh, how much better can you ask for? Like last year.
Yep. the Dolphins need to do something. I mean, they're on their way to doing it. That they, it's like the inverse of what they normally. Last few years, it feels like they get out great and then it's stumble time. And last year, they absolutely puked up a 3-game lead with 5 to go. They've won 2 in a row now since Tua has come back. They've got the Patriots this week, but then, like the caller says, it's at the Packers, home for the Jets, at the Texans, home for the Niners. Then it's Cleveland and the Jets again. So they're, you know, them running the table sounds nuts to me. I do think that they would be dangerous. I always respect. I mean, they had the Bills needed a 61-yard field goal to beat them here. And they had a great day here. So like I don't fear them more than say a Baltimore. I might look at them in Houston pretty equally, though, as opponents. Like, if you had to play them again, I think I'd feel about the same as I would play in Houston.
I like that.
Dangerous weapons, good quarterback. You know, are they ready to do it and show that they can punch with a real heavyweight? I'll believe it when I see it. But could they sting you? Sure. That's how I feel about both of those teams. One, you know, they have the opposite records, don't they? I mean, no, maybe exactly. What is Miami? Miami is 4-6, and Houston is 6-4 going into tonight.
Right. The one thing I would politely tell any Bills fan that has a lot of anxiety is to not worry about the Miami Dolphins. I think that would be one thing I would tell my friend, my best friend, who is very worrisome. He worries about a lot of things. Like, look, you've watched these teams play the last 13 or 14 times. The Bills have lost one. And that was a game where they outgained Miami by like almost literally 300 yards. I wouldn't worry about it. You never know what's going to happen. I'm right. Not telling you that you do, but I wouldn't worry about the Dolphins. I might worry about other teams. If on a worry scale, the Chargers are live. The Bengals can be dangerous. Denver might be just sort of a wild card.
That was
weird
an
team.
Eye full of the Chargers last night, and now like a brain full of the Chargers now after watching them really more closely than I have all year long, and that looks like a real tomato ketchup team. It looks serious.
They go away though.
Their D is playing well. Herbert looks reborn almost. I they were impressive last night.
They just have these lapses, though.
Well, right. Like
they took an hour off in the middle of that game.
They almost blew that game last night. That's right.
Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Football Monday on WGR continues. Eric Wood at the top of the hour. Sean McDermott about an hour from now. This is Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Sun is out and the mood is bright in Western New York today. I'll tell you though, I'm right with you, because when I thought this morning about our bet on who would win more games, Miami or the Jets, I'm like, oh, I'm going to owe him $50. And then I got here and I looked and it's only 25. I'm up 25.
Nice for you. What are you going to buy?
With the fake 25 that I'm right. Not really up, that I don't actually have in my pocket.
Wager it on the Cowboys tonight on the money line.
Maybe I will. I don't hate it. I don't like Houston at all. We've been talking on the show about maybe they fall apart. And it is so Buster.
Very Buster-y. Yeah. Cooper Rush.
I don't hate it.
Yeah.
It's not actually my money.
Right. Well, there is that. I mean, it feels like a technicality at this point, really.
I will buy 3 pieces of pizza somewhere.
Cowboys are plus 235 on the money line. That's pretty juicy.
I don't hate it. Rico Dowdle?
Mm-hmm.
That guy cannot be denied.
Right.
Jonathan Mingo?
Who's that now? Yeah.
They're starting running back?
Yeah, I know. I'm kidding.
You don't have him?
Have. Rico Dowdle. I don't understand this concept of have. How could I have? No, I don't have Rico Dowdle.
You don't?
No. No.
You don't regret it?
Well, actually, I don't know because I don't have the roster. That team that I have with you and Adam Krautwurst has like 7,000 guys on it.
Like, it's just like, I think it's 18.
So many guys. Feels
I
like
think it's 18. Listen to this. May I, since you brought it up? So, my fantasy podcast, The Deep End with Adam Krautwurst, he's been on the station many times. You know him. Bulldog loves him. I like him. So we did a few, we called it the celebrity series. We did like a half a dozen drafts in the summer, best ball, where you don't actually make moves. And I reached out to you, Trista, Nick Bakay, Marty Baron. Like, we had celebrities come in and draft with us. And the deal was, we'll pay for it. You give us an hour of your time. You get to split. We split the money. If we win anything, we split the money.
It's like Celebrity Week on Jeopardy.
Celebrity Jeopardy. So there are, what was the exact number? I know you know it. 16,486 teams, something like that?
No, it's 16,487, actually.
16,000 plus teams. We go into this week, we're 48th overall, this team. You, me, and Adam. Like, it's literally my best fantasy team of 237. You know,
got the magic Tunsil's gas mask pixie dust.
Super flex draft from the last spot. We got the 12. We got the turn. We started Chase and Henry. No, not Henry. We got him in the third round, I think.
I don't remember now.
Like, just, we didn't pick a quarterback. And that team is so good. And I love that because I love that move. So that's a tournament where after week 14, we'll definitely qualify, but then they reset the scores. So each week from there, you have to beat.
So we got
to
do it all again. We don't really get much of a victory lap for having this great regular season because it's going to be utterly mean. Kind of like the Bills.
We'll get a small prize. let's leave it there. We'll get a small prize, and then we'll have to just sort of do it again every week from there in. But that's maybe the best team I own. And you're in on it.
Yep.
I got to see how we – it was Chase and who?
I don't –
Barkley? No.
St. Brown? Amon-Ra?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, I think we might have double-dipped on receivers to start.
How did that go this week? 70 points, the two guys?
Did you look? I never looked. I wasn't following it closely enough. Today, you know, I obviously knew the score, 52-6. I'm even assuming it's two field goals for Jacksonville. Like, when did they kick their second field goal is what I really want to know. Was it just like 44-3 and they kicked a field goal? Like, I just love that so
They
much.
Went up 3-0.
Yep.
And then they ended the half with a field goal for 28-6.
Okay.
That's not too embarrassing.
Sure. At the end of the half especially. Sure.
Last play of the half.
Yeah.
Eric Wood next. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on WGR.